You're listening to a classic business podcast as heard on Classic 1027. 1027. This is Classic Business with Michael Avery on Classic 1027 in Johannesburg and Fine Music Radio in Cape Town.
But the show must go on, as they say in the classics, and certainly in the markets today. A rally goes on that has lost a little bit of steam late in the day, despite news from Washington that lawmakers have reached agreement on a sweeping $2 trillion US economic stimulus package that's going to help support companies and workers in the US that have been harmed by the coronavirus pandemic. We now see the growth rate in the US outstripping that of Italy. We saw the Dow and S&P open in the green. The Nasdaq is in the red. Following a rally on Tuesday that saw the Dow notch its biggest point gain on record and its biggest percentage increase since 1933. There's that number again. Lots of parallels and similarities we're seeing in the charts and the markets with what's happening now and the Great Depression. We saw Asian stocks adding to strong gains from Tuesday. The markets in Europe paired the advances in afternoon trade. We followed yesterday's biggest gain since 1997. The Aussie eventually closing 7.5% firmer yesterday. We saw another rise of 4.5% on the Aussie today, taking the two-day bounce to 12%. I've got Wayne McCurry, portfolio manager at F&B Wealth and Investments, on the line, and with the international view, and for the first time on the show, Murray Gunn, head of global research at Elliott Wave International. So, evening, chaps. Murray, you're a first-timer, so firstly, welcome. Kick us off. Elliott Wave, the largest independent technical analysis firm in the world. Tell us a little bit more about the firm.
Well, thank you. Yes, Elliott Wave International is the largest market forecasting firm in the world, and we have analysts dotted around the world looking at all markets, stock markets, FX, bonds, commodities, from a technical analysis point of view, which incorporates analysis of cycles and social mood and aspects like that. So we've been warning our subscribers at ElliottWave.com the last few months that a big market top was coming, but the speed and the scale of it has taken even our breath away.
I mean, we've seen some very seasoned market participants, the likes of Ray Dalio and his Bridgewater Fund, caught flat-footed. So you weren't the only one who was surprised by the speed and the scale of this change. I said earlier, it feels a whole lot like 1929, more than 2008. And we often see big moves up like this during bear markets. What are the technicals saying about the US market at the moment and comparisons with that era of the Great Depression?
Well, but interesting, rallies in bear markets are normally short and sharp, so we wouldn't be surprised at all if this rally fizzles out. And yes, I mean, the US stock market has crashed from a high point, and it did that in 1929, but also it did that in 1987 as well, and the correction there was over relatively quickly. So we think this is much more like 1929, because the geopolitical situation rhymes with that time as well. And as I say, we look at things not just from a technical perspective, but from an overall social mood perspective as well. And the mood has been becoming more negative over the last couple of years, much like it did before the 29 crash, where economic protectionism was developing there before the crash. And some people are comparing this with the 2008 crash, but the 2008 crash came towards the end of the bear market. The Dow actually topped out in 07 back then, so not at the beginning. And in 08, it was the bankers that didn't trust each other, but this time around it's the governments that don't trust each other, and that's even more worrying. And you can clearly see that by the sort of lack of a coordinated global response to the situation.
And as you say, even more worrying at a time when we're facing an enemy that knows no national boundaries or borders and certainly doesn't discriminate based on any of that kind of stuff. It is a global threat and we need global coordinated action here. Wayne, to bring you in, don't forget where we are in the business cycle too. The US was heading for a sort of shallow recession correction pre the virus. Now the US economy heading for a crash landing. And we see this $2 trillion US dollars as something akin to the foam that they spray on the runway prior to crash landing to stop the plane from catching on fire.
Yes, and that is essentially what it is. Look, you must just maybe revert back to what you were talking about. I've been through the 92 crash, the 97 crash, the 2002 crash, the 2008 crash. I'm not quite so old, so I wasn't involved in the market in the 87 crash. But all of those crashes, at some stage during those crashes, I've seen comparisons to 1929. Every single one. This is no exception that we're talking 1929. We're in a bear market. When you're in a bear market, there's panic, there's illogical thought patterns, there's a deluge of disaster stories, bad stories. This time around, it's worse than previous times. This time it's different. The world's never going to be the same again. The world as we know it will never return to normality. This is entirely normal for the bear market, and investors and people out there must realize it. Don't try and look for good news. And to be honest, sometimes don't try and look for logical thought either in a bear market. We are panicked. We are scared. Maybe more so this time around, dare I even say it, because it's a health threat. It's not an economic threat or an economic problem or an economic consequence. Obviously, the health threat itself has got severe economic consequences. But where this is different, now I'm not forecasting anything at all because I just don't know. But if tomorrow there's a cure, this problem will eventually work its way out of the economy. You know, so this is not something that you are looking down at a 3-year global recession or a 5-year global recession. If there's a cure, or if it's contained, or if it spreads and everyone gets it, there is an end to this. It doesn't continue indefinitely. It just doesn't. That's not the nature of the threat we are facing. So at some stage in the not-too-distant future, we will return to some form of normality. But of course, understand that in a bear market, it seems almost inconceivable to think that it's possible to return to some level of normality. Exactly the same as literally 3 months ago, no one in their right mind would have believed that we are on the cusp of a 40% fall in the share market. You know, it just seems improbable in a bull market to think the market's ever going to fall, just that it seems improbable, if not impossible, in a bear market that there will be some recovery and some return to normality. So, I mean, you must just remember that about a bear market.
The Benjamin Graham quote, "This time it's different," springs to mind. It's very rarely different. That is one thing that does rhyme. Murray, to come back to your analogy around the 1929 crash and why this time feels like it's rhyming with that era, what are the big warning signs? I mean, obviously we had the Smoot-Hawley Act back in the 1930s, and we've got Trump and his trade wars and that deal with China seems a long distant memory now. Those are clearly similar sets of circumstances. But what else leads you to believe that this is more 1929 than, say, 2008?
Well, one aspect has been the big build-up in debt, and that's actually what we would call the biggest virus over the last few decades has been the massive build-up in debt, non-productive debt, over various developed economies over the last few decades. And the fact that remains that bubble has been there in debt and leverage, and it's fueled the higher stock markets, not least from the era of QE over back after the financial crisis, and you had the record long expansion in the US during that era. And we viewed this crash as just the initial bursting of that debt bubble, and we're coming into a period of debt deflation. And our models suggest that bear markets are a 3-wave process. And I don't disagree that there will be a bounce. We think this is the first wave down in a 3-wave process. So at some point, there will be a bounce and people will feel relieved. We have no doubt whatsoever that the governments and the central banks will take credit for saving the markets at that stage. But much like in the 29-32 period, you had the initial crash down in 29, You then had a 5 month period of rally where it retraced 50% of the initial crash. Then between 1930 and 1932, you had the really bad period of debt deflation, and that's when the Dow lost 86% of its value. And at the end of that period, yeah, I agree, that's when people will not want to own stocks. People will be feeling the most fearful they've ever had. And of course, that'll be the time to, if you have the cash, to invest into the stock market.
Right then, at the bottom, we see another $2 trillion worth of debt being added to that pile on the same day that our own Reserve Bank, Wayne, I stand to be corrected. I think this is the first time we've seen the SAR buy government bonds in a form of QE or asset purchase. Yes. Call it what you will. Is that correct? First time? Yep.
It's free money. Yeah, it's printing money. But understand, every single government in the world is doing it. It is our first time. But you're printing money into an inflationary vacuum. There is no inflation around. In fact, there's more deflationary forces worldwide than inflation. So I'd just like to come back to what you were discussing earlier. No one can predict the future. There's no stock market system, procedure, process, qualitative, quantitative methodology that's ever been invented in investment that can predict what is going to happen into the future. So any forecast I give or any forecast anyone else gives, understand we are in effect guessing as to what the future outcome is going to be. So just, you know, I'd just like to say that to the two listeners, listening to people from whatever aspect or from whatever angle making forecasts about the future, there is no holy grail in investment that can tell you the future. So, you know, just remember, you are going to hear many, many stories. The market's going up, the market's going down, et cetera, et cetera. So when you hear these stories, you must just remember that in the light of no one, no computer, nothing can predict the future. And the future will be what it is. If it's 1929, if it's 2008, if it's whatever, all we can rely on is to say, at the current level, if the world returns to normality, is the stock market cheap or expensive on the valuation point? Because all you know about the stock market is historic information. It's the only thing you know with 100% accuracy. And from my viewpoint, and as I said, I'm also predicting, obviously, from my viewpoint, current valuation levels, if the world returns to normality, and that's an if, because as I've said 20 times now, I don't know the future, but if the world returns to some normality in some reasonable time scale, the valuations now are actually very, very good. And hopefully, I don't know the bottom. The bottom could be 20% lower. We could be at the bottom. I just don't know. What I do know is if the world returns to normality, the share market at the current level is reasonably valued.
And, it is all based on one's perspective. We do know that markets are forward pricing mechanisms looking in the rearview mirror. So we do take it from that perspective. Wayne McCurry, Portfolio Manager at F&B Wealth and Investments, thank you very much. And Murray Gunn, Head of Global Research at Elliott Wave International, with your view from the market.